It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple chips being made in the U.S. for the first time. Apple Smart Home Hub may be delayed. Apple Watch SE with new look launching later this year. Dell copies Apple naming, and Severance appears in Grand Central Terminal. Plus reviews of Wow Mouse and Flighty apps. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 484, recorded Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. Copying Apple to the max.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Good evening, Tom. You know, Tom, we've had the same intro for 10 years, and it's kind of like a fine wine.
A fine wine. Yeah. You know, at one point, I tried to change it. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't know. Yeah. I think I do.
I took a poll. Yeah. I had new music. I was really excited about it. I thought, oh, this would be cool. And this was after a couple of years of doing the show. Mm-hmm. And I think Scott was doing the show at the time. And
yeah, he might have been.
He didn't like it. But we took the poll and people decided, the majority ruled, and we nixed it. But I do have another track in the background somewhere.
Well, it's also like a TV show that has, you know, multiple seasons, and they keep the same theme song and intro forever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, shows that have been on for super long time. Yeah, they always keep the same intro.
Yeah, yeah. Usually. Some shows change year to year, but some don't. So,
yeah, some don't. So yeah, we haven't. And at a certain point, it's like I'm not changing it because I got to retime everything. You know, it matches with the sound at the end, and I'd have to slide it around and redo it and re-record the VO to match in. I don't know. After 10 years, I might be able to find the original files. That's on a hard drive around here somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm just saying. I think I like it. So I'm just – no need to change.
You may have noticed Vincent is not here with us this week. He's got some prior commitments, some very, very important busy stuff. So just the two of us. And this is our, second show of the year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right? Yeah, news is picking up a little bit. There's not a whole lot this week because we are on a little bit earlier than normal. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
I got a lot of travel coming up, so kind of had to squeeze this in when we could. So you're going to get this show a little early. The bad news is you might have to wait a little bit longer for the next one or the one after that. But we're going to try to give you something, try to do it every 2 weeks here.
Yeah,
as much as we can.
All three of us have some travel coming up in the next 2 or 3 weeks, so it's timely that we get together tonight.
Right. Now you're heading what did you say, north?
My gosh, yes. I'm going to
way north, right?
Way north in Canada, where I was telling you before the show that the high temperature is like 5 degrees Tuesday and the low is -9 Fahrenheit. I don't even know how to pack for that.
everything.
well, I have electric. I remember I did all my reviews, electric socks.
Oh, that's right. You
electric
have
gloves.
Whole, yeah, yeah.
Now, most of the time I'll be working in the hotels with meetings, but we are going to do some outside walking. I'm like, really? Do we have to do this? but I'm also going to Europe in February, but that's going to be kind of normal temperatures based on the long-term forecast. So no worries there. But Montreal, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, we're heading west, going out to California.
Wonderful.
Unfortunately, we're going to be only about 30 miles from the fires.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but the winds are blowing the other direction.
Okay,
But we're east. We're east of, northeast, actually, of L.A.
Okay.
So
okay.
Not too far away, just close enough to be a little uncomfortable.
But, yeah, you'll probably see it, I'm sure.
Who knows? I have no idea what it's going to be like. Anyway, we're going to be there for a week, and then kind of heading back, we'll be in Arizona and New Mexico. So,
wow,
two of the driest places in the winter for for the entire country.
The dry heat part of the United States, even in the winter.
I was going to say dry cold at night.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway.
That's our weather forecasting podcast. Thank you very much.
Yes. Yeah, we're about to have another what they call Arctic blast, I guess, next week.
Yes, so I think so.
I guess everybody, stay warm and get ready for it. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a whole lot of different stories here, but we can kind of dive in on some of these. I'm seeing a lot more of the maybe because it's the only news available from Apple, but stuff about home.
Right.
Since
right.
Apple, this is going to be the year of the home, I hope.
I think so.
But we're hearing a lot of rumors about it, so maybe not till later in the year, but there's a lot of things going on. First up here, I want to talk about this is HomeKit compatibility. And apparently now it's a lot easier to achieve HomeKit compatibility as Apple is now accepting Matter certification. So this is actually a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. Matter is the idea that a standard that Google Home, Alexa, Samsung, SmartThings, and Apple all agreed on, that if we stick to this standard, anything made for Matter will work with any of these systems out of the box, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Apple has agreed to accept Matter certification for all new devices without requiring testing before granting the Works with Apple Home badge. And why that's a big deal is that, as I said, prior to developing the Matter standard, every home device had to achieve separate compatibility with each one of the main smart home platforms that it wanted to support. Mm-hmm. You can imagine what a nightmare that is.
Unbelievable, yes.
For the company trying to do this with their products. Mm-hmm. So they'd have to submit applications to Apple, Google, Amazon, Samsung, and then send their products for testing by each company over and over. So the Matter standard was supposed to make it where they just, if it's made for Matter, then they don't have to go through that. But they've still been doing that. These companies still, at least Apple has been requiring them to still send it in to get approved by Apple before they could put that Works with Apple Home badge on it. Mm-hmm. But now Apple's agreed to accept Matter certification as proof of HomeKit compatibility without the need for additional testing.
Yeah, that's great.
So if your product passes all the Matter tests, then Apple's just going to let you do the Works with Apple Home badge. That speeds up a lot, which
it
is
will.
Nice.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll change anything. I know for me, and you know, you and Vincent are a little more tech focused than me, right? I've been doing this podcast a long time, but I'm not deep down in the tech. So sometimes when you're putting a home device together, you're like, it says do A, B, and C, and it's going to work. And you do it, but you don't really understand what's happening.
Yeah.
So this standard, at least you just have to kind of learn one standard and you kind of know what's happening. So that's good. I think it really helps understand what's happening, but also makes the actual connection and alignment better and more robust.
Right. And then the great thing about this, though, if you buy Matter products, devices, if for whatever reason, I don't know why you would ever do this, but if you ever left the Apple ecosystem and you went with another one, all your stuff will still work.
Yeah, right.
Whereas if you buy something that's HomeKit compatible in the past that didn't say Matter as well, only works with Apple.
Yeah.
Which is what I was looking for because that's what I have. So that was very important to me to make sure it worked with HomeKit. So,
well, you just redid your whole home, right? Did you buy any new devices, or did you just kind of reconfigure and align all your old devices?
Oh, a ton of new stuff.
Ton of new stuff. Okay,
and all the stuff I've been reviewing the whole past year has all been new things, and that was kind of the thought was, hey, if we're going to do this anyway, might as well take the upgrade. You know, all the light switches and light bulbs. and doorbells and door locks and window sensors and everything, you know, smart shades for your windows. All that stuff is all either Matter or HomeKit for mm-hmm. me. So it all works together.
Yeah. And I think when you like buy something on Amazon, obviously there's a logo down there as well as the mm-hmm. the alignment that it's compatible. And I think the Matter, I don't know if I've seen the Matter, but I haven't bought a whole lot of new HomeKit, or I should say smart home devices recently. And mine's mm-hmm. pretty old, right? I don't have many new devices. So I plan on doing that when the new home infrastructure comes out from Apple. I hope to redesign everything, and maybe the Matter will be part of it.
Yeah, I think it will. I think, you know, like the recent Christmas lights that I reviewed, those were works with Matter.
Ah, okay.
So I knew. The other thing is, if it works with Matter, you can pretty much go into HomeKit and set it up. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work with Matter and it's not made specifically for HomeKit, you have to go through that product's app.
Right, right.
To get it to work. And it won't show up in HomeKit.
Yeah, right.
Which means it won't work with Shlomo or anything else by voice, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes that's the magic I was talking about. When you go through mm-hmm. the native app, you're like, man, I hope this works, right? And it would be better to do everything from HomeKit, much more productive.
Right, and there are workarounds, as I've mentioned before, the Hoobs thing, the little hub you can get that. Yeah, and, you know, once you go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
you can make anything work, but you know, it takes time, and you got to be dedicated to understanding it all. So this just hopefully makes it easier. The other neat thing about this is software update. Mm-hmm. They used to have to go through the same certification process as the original when they would update the software. So that would, you know, it makes it a lot harder to do. So now they agreed to this process. They merely say yes, it works the same way, and they don't have to go through the recertification. So good news on that front.
It is. I wonder why the change.
You know, it sounds like how Apple with the watch, remember how they did the fast track for the health
stuff? Yeah.
This sounds like a similar thing. They're kind of fast tracking approval on things.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I think they've got their eye on a big push for the home, and they don't want anything slowing it down.
Yeah, I think as we talked about last week, they haven't had any really hardware. Last year was the first year they didn't release any mm-hmm. new hardware, and the home. And I think there's a story coming up that, you know, could contradict what we're talking about a little bit about timing, but home is big for them, and also Matter has not been around that long, so it's kind of interesting that they adopted a standard that's like 5 years old. It's not that robust, but again, I guess then again, 5 years in the tech world is like old, maybe. I don't know, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's relatively new.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Apple's HomeKit, like most of the stuff they do, almost seemed like a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like the Apple TV until
That's
they got
fair.
Serious.
Oh, yeah.
Until they got serious about the Apple TV
right,
and then
right.
it suddenly became quite powerful and useful. And yeah. I hope the same thing happens with HomeKit. It needs work.
It does. I mean, that Home app, when it showed up the first time, remember we talked about how terrible it was? And it's gone from terrible to okay. It needs to be just as good as other apps and as good as, like, you know, connecting a new phone. I mean, it's got to be really seamless.
Yeah, it's just the whole way it works and how mm-hmm. It took me forever to find something. You know,
it's
not very clear. As a lot of other stuff with Apple is. So, again, I hope this push helps them kind of revamp that, and hopefully they will. Now, what you were talking about was the Apple Smart Home Hub.
Right.
Which Mark Gurman has talked about coming out this year. And apparently now he is saying that this Smart Home Hub is deeply integrated with iOS 18.4 and iOS 19, mm-hmm. which could delay its shipping time.
Right, right.
So it is now dependent on these updates to the software. Whereas we were hoping to get this earlier in the year, this is probably going to push it out to the summer or fall.
Yeah, right. 19 is going to be September.
Yeah.
Based on the usual time frame.
But 18.4 would be sooner, but still not spring, probably.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. 2 to 4 months? I don't know. What are we at? 18.2 right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. Could roughly. Be. But that's not great news that's getting delayed a bit. Because I'm really looking forward to this thing.
But if you have the matter standard and you're waiting, I'd hate to wait till September, but yeah, I get it. But if it's an effective device, an effective interface, and has the use cases we want, then I think they want to make sure this works. Right? After the last, after the Vision Pro and after a couple other things, I think they need something to really work. They don't need the next device to be announced and not be a hit.
Right. And again, this is a category I think they should have been in years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they've waited so long. Seems like a no-brainer to me. But so what this is, a smart home hub is what they say, roughly 7-inch screen, can help manage household tasks, run apps, conduct video calls. You'll be able to hang it on a wall or place it on a countertop. And they, I like how they just throw this in, perhaps in a few spots around the home. They want you to own more than one of them. He says here they've been planning to introduce it in March, but it's probably going to take longer. The new device's operating system is codenamed Pebble. So again, it's tied into 18.4 and iOS 19, so it's probably going to ship later. Sounds to me like the device is almost ready now, but they can't ship it yet. So,
yeah, and have we seen any updated potential renderings? Right, we had those the renderings in previous stories, but they were totally made up, right?
Yeah, those are just made up. They took a
HomePod and put a
HomePod
iPad
Mini
on it.
And stuck an iPad on the front. That's not that's not what they're going to do.
No, it's not going to look like that.
No, I don't think so. But when you tie that in with the other rumors, which would be an in-home security camera from Apple and a Face ID enabled digital doorbell, now you're starting to see quite a little home system starting to work. So this is cool.
It is. I would like to see like fire alarms and some of those other things too that you may not think as much to tie in. That would be a great one too. Now, I think I asked you this on a number of shows ago, but I'm going to ask again. If we have something like this and you have to reconfigure all your devices, because right now it's tied to a hub that it selected on its own. So if you buy this and implement it, do you have to delete and re-add everything?
I would hope not. Now, when you say it chooses itself with the new OS, the new version of HomeKit that's out now.
That's right. You can
choose
your
own hub. For the first time, you can choose your hub.
Yeah, so you can set this up and then just go on your devices and just reconfigure and select a new hub.
Right. However,
yeah.
All of your HomePods need to be updated to the absolute latest version.
Yeah.
And your Apple TVs. Every one of them. If you have one that isn't, I don't think you get the choice.
That shouldn't be a problem. I mean, you just got to do it. Yeah. And right. Most of the time it's on auto update. So that's great.
It took me a while to get mine to show up in on the phone as to I could choose my own. Mm-hmm. But what was weird is when that did finally show up, it had already chosen the one I wanted to use.
Do you know how it did it? Was it the closest or the
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I just want to make sure it was one that, in my case was connected to Ethernet. Mm-hmm. Right, had this a hardwired connection, not Wi-Fi, so that it'd be nice and solid. But
that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I hate to wait because I think I'm going to. I haven't bought a new piece of Apple hardware in a long time, so I'm kind of itching to do it. and this is going to be the next thing that comes out, so why not? It might be worth taking a try and really. I guess between you, me, and Vincent, we may have a lot of stuff to like review or what we like this week because of that product. It'd be nice.
Yeah. And, I don't know that it would stop me from buying any other home products. As long as they're Matter compatible and HomeKit compatible, I think they'll work just fine with this new hub. when it comes out. The only thing I'd be hesitant to look at right now is a camera or a doorbell, if Apple indeed is going to come out with those.
Yeah, right, right. Well, don't you have all those already?
Yeah, that doesn't mean I wouldn't switch them out at some point down the road, you know?
Okay, okay.
I mean, I had the Ring doorbell. Now I have the Ecobee, so.
Yeah, I've done similar things, so I get it. Yeah. And well, good. Well, I think between the Matter standard and the Home Hub, it's a lot of progress. It's making it more like Legos, if you remember, you know, how they snap together versus a Lego and some other kind of building block that you kind of have to have an adapter. So this is great. I think it's long overdue.
Yeah, a whole new, not new, but a category they should be much mm-hmm. stronger in. So, and interesting, they're going to, you know, take on things like Ring directly. That's
pretty exciting. I don't think that scares them at all, honestly. I think that...
No, but I'm saying they've never done anything like that. You know, they never did. They could have done this a long time ago. You know, I mean, the creator of the Nest thermostat was Tony Fadell, who came from Apple.
Yeah, right.
But there's no reason Apple couldn't have done its own.
No. Right? No. And that's probably why the Nest thermostat was so hard to get on the home the home kit, right?
Until the most recent version, you haven't been able to.
Yeah, yeah.
Just now is it now compatible? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. Remember we bought. I can't remember. I have Ecobee now mm-hmm. instead of the Nest, but
same here. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the product, but I think you and I both bought it at the same time and both did the link.
It was the Starling.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, that little box. It was like inch by 1 inch cube or something like that. And
yep,
it worked great. You just had just a really detailed configuration. It actually tested my technology capability greatly to get that thing to work.
So we may have to wait a little bit longer for this hub. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep you informed on that. What else is going on here? Some Apple Watch news. Yay, Apple Watch chips are now being made in the U.S. Mm-hmm. for the first time ever. So Apple has expanded its production footprint in the United States with its S9 chip for the Apple Watch now being made at TSMC's facility in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, this is a number of years back, probably 4 years ago, five maybe, in mm-hmm. Arizona, mm-hmm. in Mesa, I drove by this place when it was being built, I think, this plant near Phoenix.
Right, right.
And now it's completely online. So they started producing the S9, you know, system in a package chip at Fab 21 plant. They commenced production of the A16 Bionic chip for the iPhone 15 and the iPhone 15 Plus last year at the facility. The S9 debuted in the Apple Watch Series 9, and it's based on processing features derived from the A16. Mm-hmm. So they're very similar, these two chips. Both are produced using their 4-nanometer process, known as N4. So this shared foundation allowed them to efficiently adapt this production line to accommodate the S9 along with the A16. Now, the Apple Watch Series 9 is now out of production, but this S9 chip is still used in the Apple Watch Ultra 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty interesting. Now,
it is.
Now that it's ramping up, what did they say? It was, by the way, this Arizona plant is the first semiconductor manufacturing site outside of Taiwan for TSMC.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's taken a while to get online, I guess. Okay, currently they're in phase one, or 1A, I guess they call it. The monthly output is approximately 10,000 wafers. And these wafers are shared between the A16 and the S9 chips and other clients such as AMD. Each wafer can yield hundreds of chips.
Right, right.
Depending on the die size, design, production, efficiency. Completion of phase 1B is expected to double the capacity to 24,000 wafers per month early this year. So they are up and running.
Yeah, they are. So is that, I don't think they're sole sourced out of Arizona yet, are they?
What do you mean?
Chips. They still have multiple sources, or is this going to be the sole source for chips in the future for the watch?
I don't know if they're made anywhere else. They are made elsewhere for the other watches.
That's true.
This is just right currently for the Ultra 2.
S9, yeah. Yeah, but, I think.
Go ahead.
No, okay, I was going to say that the S9 is going to be in the Ultra 3 too, isn't it?
Might not be.
Okay, I thought might
we don't
be.
We don't know.
Okay,
and but what I think is interesting, now that they're able to show that they can do it, mm-hmm. and they can ramp it up, that means I would think they could easily, or not easily, but you know, this, put it this way, the facility is not at full capacity at all. This is early stages.
Certainly.
So I would think in the future, yeah, you could probably push a lot more chips for the Apple Watch and the phone through this facility.
Yeah, so
that's the goal. Yeah.
So now we're exporting our chips to the countries that assemble the devices.
Yes, all correct.
Right. Okay.
But it brings, for the first time, some of this manufacturing here to the U.S. for Apple.
Yeah, and if you're going to outsource, if you're going to ship something, why not ship chips? They're not that big and not that heavy. Right? So I think you're picking the right thing to do. Plus, I mean, these plants are, I mean, they're all capital, right? It's all capital equipment and all machine driven, right? So they're highly intense to set up and hone into the right process. So it's good that it's in the United States. I think that really makes a difference.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it is. So that's good news.
Yeah, it's very good news.
In the future.
Yeah, we'll see if the next chip is either the S9 or something different, S10 for the 3, and if it comes out of the plant. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. I have a feeling that this might be that it would never produce the latest chip. That it would always be like a one generation back, but take that load off of the other plants. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
That's a fair thought. Right.
Yeah, that the other plants would have to not only do the new stuff, but the old at the same time. That this, at least for now, that's what I think they might be doing with it.
Yeah, fair thought. Fair thought.
But I have no inside information. I have no idea.
Tom's prediction.
My predictions. Okay, let's talk about some other interesting things. This. Okay, it's CES time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it over now?
Oh yeah.
We already had it.
The first week of the year in Vegas. Yeah.
So that was last week. Mm-hmm. But a lot of interesting things came out of CES. And a lot of things you hear come out of CES you never see again.
That's right. It's kind of like Apple patents, right?
Yes, exactly. And they're all like prototypes, and there's only one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is interesting. This is something that will be shipping earlier this year, coming up, I do believe. Let's see, where do they say the shipping is? First quarter of this year. Okay. So it's a real product. This is from a company called Halliday, Halliday. Or at least that's the, I'm sorry, that may not be the name of the company. That's the name of the product. Mm-hmm. Halliday Smart Glasses. And they have an ultra tiny display and AI built into them. Mm-hmm. They look like a regular pair of glasses.
They do.
And they're dark, like black, you know, kind of nerdy.
Thick black frames. Yeah. They're kind of nerdy, but Clark Kent kind of glasses.
But nothing too thick or too weird about them.
No.
The lenses are normal lenses.
You can wear them all day.
Prescription or not, it's up to you. Nothing interferes with your view through these lenses. However, this is so weird. The upper part on the inside of the glasses, like the upper right, there's a little tiny screen. And I mean tiny. And by glancing up at it, you get all this information.
Right, yeah.
And it is a pretty wild idea. Now, they named it Halliday because that's one of the characters from Ready Player One. If you're familiar with that.
I'm not.
Game, and then it was a Steven Spielberg movie.
Okay.
But these are 35 gram, I guess, yeah, gram, 35 gram smart glasses that look almost like traditional eyewear, but this little micro, they're calling it a digi window micro display. And it is one of the tiniest displays I think I've ever seen.
I don't know how you can get any smaller than that.
I don't know what it would look like. It's about the size of a pea. And the upper right, as I said, of the frame. And apparently it's adjustable where it sits. So it, depending on who's wearing them, you can adjust it slightly, right? they say it looks like a 3.5-inch monochrome display up close to your eyes. And yeah, it's about the same size as the original iPhone. but the fact that you have to glance up to look at it might be a little weird. That was something that the Google Glass had to do.
Right, right.
And in this review of it, I'll put a link in the show notes to this article. This is from TechRadar. And the headline is, I can't decide if I love or hate these smart glasses. But this reviewer said that every photo he ever had from the Google Glass, their eyes were always looking up. so you may have the same issue here.
You will.
But this has something the Google Glass did not. So they're combining this with AI-powered information. And it comes from an app running on your phone, Android or iPhone. You can query this AI agent, but it can, with your permission, listen to your conversations through a microphone located in the glasses and even jumping in with answers to complex questions during a meeting. There are speakers built in. You can listen to music, conducting calls, or for chatting with the AI. And then here's just a list of other features: meeting summarization, notifications, teleprompter mode. Your teleprompter is in your glasses.
Yes.
How amazing is that?
If you can, if you can work it in a meeting that you're not looking up, well, that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? You know, maybe
it'd be amazing. Well, like if you're giving, go ahead.
I say, I think we're in the same place. If you're giving like a keynote in front of thousands of people, it's right in your glasses.
They'd never know.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd say, this guy's brilliant. He's working without a teleprompter. Right. He didn't forget a thing.
And then if someone asks you questions, it would listen to the question and give the answer.
Yeah, and you'd be helped right there.
That's exactly right.
Voice translation, turn-by-turn navigation, note-taking. In addition to voice control, it comes with a custom ring that responds to taps and swipes. So you wear this ring to control some things on it. comes in black or tortoise in color. 8 hours on a charge, accommodate prescription, as I said, or clear lenses, and shipping the first quarter of the year. It's priced at, drum roll, please.
Not $3,400.
$489.99.
Yes, I'm sorry. I spoke over you.
Not $3,400.
Yeah.
wow.
So
this is something Apple should have done.
Yes.
Something like this. Maybe not this exact thing.
Because $500, people will spend that.
Buy it. Oh, yeah. Just to try it. Why not?
Now I may not recommend the turn-by-turn navigation. You have to look up to see your navigation while you're driving, but that's up to you. And the 8 hours, you know, maybe you have to – it depends how you charge it. If you can set it on a charger versus plugging it in, maybe you can put something in your car or something that you could just set them down on. But 8 hours isn't terrible. But the other things here, like voice translation and note-taking, that's incredible.
I just want to try the listening mode of jumping in and giving me answers.
Yeah, that too.
As I'm speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're doing this podcast and I'm wearing these glasses, of course, no one can see me look up, right? Because this is a voice only. Mm-hmm. But if we had a question about something, it's like, you know, I don't remember. Did this have that?
Yeah.
It would show up and tell me. Well, how cool would that be?
Well, I'm when I'm on a video call now, because I don't do as many face-to-face meetings as I used to, although I'm doing more as I more and more. You know, I'm constantly on my phone typing, you know, on my desk in ChatGPT, getting answers to questions people are asking me all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This would kind of take care of that, right? It would listen and just do it for me and pop it up there, and I can use the answer if I want, right? I wouldn't have to kind of multitask. It would automatically do it.
I'm wondering, I'm trying to find the link here to see if they're taking pre-orders.
Oh, there you go. I didn't see anything in the article.
Holiday Smart. I don't see a link for that. Let me see here real quick. Holiday Smart Glasses and see if there's actually a Holiday Global is the website, apparently. Here they are. You get a deposit reservation for $10.
Look at that.
You can hold one. $10.
I might have to do that. Yeah, and kind of going on the fact that if you look at this, $500 and get you started with some basic things that will really help you versus $3,400, which, by the way, incredible device.
But oh, yeah.
It's like what I really need to do is I need to drive from A to B. That's these glasses. I don't need to go to Mars, which is the Vision Pro. Right. So getting started with something and growing might be the way to do it versus trying to create that, you know, ship that can get to Mars and then backtracking.
Well, yeah. And by the way, you save some money by launch day exclusive $369 instead of $489.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, the only thing about this, and like you said, okay, you start with this version. Where do you go from here? What happens with that display? How can it get better?
It comes to the glass.
How?
I don't know.
But
that.
There's a problem. If it comes to the glass, it's obscuring my view.
Well, it wouldn't be on both lenses all the way. Maybe instead of being in that little P, it's in a corner, or maybe you can put it where you want to put it, right? You can designate a portion of the lens to and you don't those lenses are pretty big. Just use a quarter of one lens would probably be six or seven or eight times bigger than what you got today.
Yeah, now there's no you can't watch movies or anything on this, but how cool is this?
Yeah.
You get battery level notifications, the time, everything's up there in this little screen.
And I think shipping starts in like this quarter, later this quarter?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, heck yeah. I think we should buy these, Tom. I think we should both get on the list and get these as well. So we're going to be reviewing, setting up our home kit with our Holiday glasses.
There you go. I love it. I'll put a link in the show notes for this article and for their website, because you see a lot more of the glasses on the website, mm-hmm. obviously. Pretty cool.
Very much.
You know, like I say, this is kind of similar to the glasses I talked about quite a while back that were for running mm-hmm. or sports that look like sunglasses, you know, those wraparound glasses.
Right.
Yeah. Like almost, you see people wear those when they go like snow ski thing, you know, they're really made for sports, but they reflect in the lenses your pace, time, you know, all of that stuff, all the vitals you need when you're running are constantly there in the glasses, which is pretty cool.
It is.
So I wonder, this is a similar idea, but go ahead.
With the teleprompter mode, I guess there's some place you upload your copy,
sure.
Right? And I guess
from your phone. From your phone.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I guess the app and the phone, I'm sure. You just send it there and off you go.
Gosh, I can already see how to use that. I need that for me. I need that for my meeting in Europe right now.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I was still working, you know, like in an office environment where I did presentations all the time. This would be amazing to have.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. anyway, pretty cool. I'll put a link in the show notes. neat stuff from CES. Okay, now we get to make fun of someone. namely Dell. Okay. So Dell had a press launch with a whole new naming convention. I use the word new very lightly. Mm-hmm. for their laptops and desktop PCs, which used to have names like trying to find if they have a list of their old names here, but they were not memorable. What they used to call them. Mm-hmm. Each one had a different style. Anyway, they have a new naming convention, and they're divided into three tiers. It's Dell, Dell Pro, and Dell Pro Max. Mm-hmm. Man, that sounds familiar.
You think?
I don't know where I've heard that before.
And it's not like copyrighted or anything? You can't get a naming convention on that?
Apparently, Dell claims that they did this purely for simplicity, not to copy Apple. And then they also stated that no one can copyright the word Pro or Max, which is probably true.
It is, but it's not a single word. It's the combination of words that identifies the brand or the product, correct?
Yeah, you said customers really prefer names that are easy to remember and easy to pronounce. Mm-hmm. You mean like apples that they've had for years?
Exactly.
Yeah, this is too funny. And they're questioned by reporters, of course, as to your brand sounds a lot like Apple, aren't you just following them? Is what they're asking them.
Well, when I read this story, I was going to go into LinkedIn and see if I can like search on who is the Dell brand manager and see if they came from Apple.
Probably not. <You know? laughs>
That would be pretty bad if you just stole the names. But yeah, it's ridiculous. When I was reading this, I thought it was like a joke. It's not good.
It isn't. I mean, it's one thing to copy someone's work in a way that's slightly different and trying to ride that wave of technology, right? Mm-hmm. It's another to just outright name it the same thing. You know, just putting your name in front of replacing Apple. I don't understand why they did this. From a branding standpoint, this is a horrible decision. Mm-hmm. Do you know why it's a horrible decision? When it comes to advertising, when there's confusion in the market, right? Things that are similar, it always goes to the leader. Mm-hmm. All the attention. So all the money that the competitor spends, right, all goes to their competitor's benefit if there's confusion in the market, if they don't stand out.
Yeah, makes sense.
And this is a perfect example of it. I mean, why would you do this? I don't get it.
Yeah, I think the reporters that talk to them should be facetious about it because it is it'd be like almost a joke that they would do something like this.
Yeah, so. And this comes from, you know, Michael Dell, who famously, when Apple was on the ropes back in 95 or 6, right, mm-hmm. about to go under, he famously, a quote from him is that they should just give all the money back to the shareholders and shut it down. Mm-hmm. Before Apple became roaring back to be the biggest company in the world. And now Dell is copying them literally with their own with their names. That's just copying Apple to the max, so to speak. Literally.
But there's also they do it purposely to cause commotion point of view. And they've certainly done that.
Perhaps. But I think it's going to hurt them in the long run. Mm-hmm. You know, a Dell is not an Apple.
And, it's not.
It kind of smacks of desperation to me, or at least a complete lack of imagination.
What about, I'm just trying to grab at straws here, internet searches. Let me search on Pro Max, right? Now Dell will show up and not just Apple.
Oh, no. Hell no. Apple will own that. They've had it for years. There is no way Dell would show up other than these recent articles, right?
Yeah.
Might show up. But if I'm looking for a computer, a Pro Max, I guarantee you Apple's coming up first.
They would. I would say
it's going to Dell it would take first. A long time for Dell to populate that search result, I think.
Yeah. But, well, unless they paid for it, right? Can't you do that?
I think Apple already does.
they probably pay more commas than Dell can afford.
Let's just put it this way. There's only so much space in your brain to hold advertising, marketing names and campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. You only have so much room you can concentrate and remember any of that stuff. Apple already owns that little piece in your mind of Pro and Max. Mm-hmm. Do they really think you're going to suddenly replace that with Dell?
Well, no. I totally agree with you. I said grasp at straws and something here because, again, it just sounds ridiculous.
It is. It's totally ridiculous. Yeah. I'm kind of flabbergasted that they're getting away with it.
That's what I said too. I didn't know how they get away with it.
They're serious.
Yeah.
At a moment, for a moment, I'm like, is this an Onion article? That Dell gives up and just calls its stuff Pro and Pro Max. They throw in the towel.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, Apple's been right all along. I mean, oh man. Yeah, I'm sorry. It. I start turning on my advertising thing and I can't shut it down. But they should not have done that. Mm-mm. All right, moving on. Let's see. The Apple Watch SE, which you've already kind of talked about this, but it's kind of popped up in the news again. Mm-hmm. With a new look, reportedly launching later this year. We talked about that. Apparently, Mark Gurman's mentioning it again in his newsletter. But it'll be it'll sport a new look. And we had talked about this having a plastic case.
Right, right. Multicolors.
With a bunch of fun colors. Mm-hmm. So kind of a complete redesign of it, basically. Since that's never been done by Apple before, right? Plastic case. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. And then they're saying that the Apple Watch Ultra 3, as we mentioned, will be getting satellite connectivity. And that it'll also likely introduce the high blood pressure detection on both the Series 11 and the Ultra 3. Mm-hmm. So that'll be later this year. So some exciting things to look forward to. But the SE, I'm kind of really curious about this one now, how that's going to turn out.
Yeah. And did we talk about it in the last story? Is the price point for the SE going to be the same or close?
I would think it'd have to be the same. Even though it's probably going to be cheaper to manufacture.
Yeah, true.
For them.
True, yeah.
Being out of plastic. But unless there's some technological hurdles they have to do to make it out of plastic, who knows?
Yeah, and the plastic is going to – hopefully they stress test that plastic because the way you kind of bring your watch around, it's going to be like the fine woven case before you know it.
Yeah, I mean, we say plastic. Knowing Apple, they've probably invented their own version of it.
I was just going to say the same thing. And we'll get Vincent to do a research project for us.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, we had the fluoroelastomer for the bands. They probably have their own thing for the for this plastic. But because didn't they create like their own metals for some of this stuff?
Yes,
their own
yes. Yeah, right, right.
Custom mix. They may do the same thing with the plastic. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway, interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's a great device. I mean, you can't go wrong with a watch like that for, you know, the right people that don't want the Ultra. It's a good price point and a good set of features. So why not?
Yeah. I mean, it's and that way actually you're going to see it this year. So.
Right. Right.
Okay. Final last story here. I just added this right before the show. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it.
I did.
Okay. Apple has Lumen employees working inside a severance cube at Grand Central Terminal. Mm-hmm. This is advertising and marketing genius. Mm-hmm. This is at its peak of getting buzz. So based on the TV show Severance, if you haven't seen it, It's a way out there sci-fi hit that's about to come back. I think it's next week or this week. Is it this
Friday.
Week?
It's Friday.
Friday. Okay. It's coming back Friday for another season. It's been 3 years.
Or Monday. Friday or Monday, but 2 days doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. So it's coming back, and to promote that, in Grand Central Terminal, they put up these glass walls and set up an office space based on the show with the same computers and the same odd things, and just have people in there working and ignoring the fact that they're in the middle of Grand Central Terminal.
Yeah, yeah.
It is genius. And I'm looking at the photos. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. They hired these actors to sit there and do all this stuff. And I scroll down and I see the actors from the show in there.
Mm-hmm. You do. Yes.
The three main people.
And I thought maybe it was like a plastic dummy or something. But I was like, no, that's too nice. There's actually real people in there.
Yeah, they're actually in there, I think.
Adam Scott is, he's
yeah,
one of them, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, really cool. That is amazing.
It is. And if you've been to Grand Central Station, my gosh, you're out there in the middle of everything. And it would be so hard just to kind of
And then part up, of that. Up one level is the Apple Store there, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh.
It's kind of cool.
Brilliant idea, whoever came up with this. Is it just pop a little slice of the show in the middle of Grand Central? That's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They got the same funky computers and stuff they're working on there.
Oh, yeah.
That is cool.
Circa 1985 Apple, right?
Kind of, or not even that. I don't know what it is. That is just a weird looking computer with a little trackball built in the keyboard
right,
there.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, they're employees of Lumen. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
And
I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see that.
It's kind of cool that if you go through Grand Central Station every day to and from work, that one day it's not there, and the next day you come in, you're like, what the heck is this? You know? But everyone's going to know about the show now because it's right on the glass. Doesn't it say Severance right on the glass? Yeah, it does.
Yep, says it on the glass. There's a big thing where it says Main Concourse to Trains. They've got a big curved banner with Severance and the dates. And
oh, there it is. It says 17th, January 17th.
January 17th, streaming.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get one or two on the 17th, but
yeah, right.
It's enough
right.
to get started. I'm going to click on this. There's a video here. I don't know if this is going to play any audio. Oh, it is. Ooh, that's loud. How do I turn that down? Mm. Let me kill that. Where's the audio level? There it is. Is that it? Off. Okay, there we go.
Oh, it's a TikTok video.
Yeah, it's a TikTok video of it. Yeah, people are sitting there typing on the keyboard.
Yeah, I wonder if there's, I mean, wonder what they're doing, because obviously they're like some type of actor, and are they just like,
yeah.
How long are you in there? How long are you typing? Know. And when did they do the shift change?
I want to get in line to go in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to sit down and play with that, type on that for a while and have my picture taken like I'm a Severance employee.
Well, too bad you're going west for work instead of east.
Yeah,
Tom. You could swing up there and before you know it, be sitting in the cube.
I'll have to, if my daughter's listening, who lives in your city, if you get a chance, swing by Grand Central before this goes away. Take some pictures. It's pretty cool.
Well, I was just in New York last week and real close to Grand Central. If I'd have known this was there, I would have been there snapping pictures all the way. But I just didn't know about it. You know, I had no idea.
Well, it's a pop-up thing. So, yeah, who knows? It may have just shown up today, yesterday. Who knows?
I mean, my hotel was probably not even a 5-minute walk, so it'd be great to. So 1 week, if this would have been the show last week, I would have had pictures.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would have been cool. All right, any other news here?
That was fun.
All right, we'll get to what we like here in just a second, but first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. Check it out. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. I forget who it was, and I apologize, but
you know, I get these notices on the Patreon subscribers. Mm-hmm. And when I see names lately, I'm like, oh, somebody just dropped off probably. That's usually what it is. It was actually somebody increasing.
They're
monthly, which I absolutely love.
That's awesome.
I apologize. I can't think of who their name was because I didn't know if they normally have a little button there that says, do you want to be, you know, acknowledged or not by name? Mm-hmm. And I don't recall if there's a way to do that if you just up it. But thank you so much for doing that. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. All right. What do you like this week, Chris?
All right, Tom. I have an app. It's called Flighty, F-L-I-G-H-T-Y. Mm-hmm. It's a live flight tracker app. So with all the watch apps you have for Delta and American, and those are the only two I have. I'm sure all the other airlines have flight watch apps where you can check in and get, you can actually get your boarding passes on your watch and you get notifications of, you know, your flight's boarding, et cetera, et cetera. Why would I want a Flighty app? Well, first of all, I can only barely talk about, I could do a 2-hour show on this app. It has got so much capability, but let me just kind of summarize a couple things that I like that are a little different than just like a Delta or an American app that's on your watch or your phone. First is a free version, and then there's a $3.99 a month version. So it's not cheap. I mean, it's, you know, $50 a year if you buy the pro version. But a couple things. First, the Flighty app you can enter email address. So you can enter your work email address or personal email address, and it just loads in the flights. It goes and finds the flights and loads them into the app. They show up on your watch automatically.
I don't know if that's good or a little frightening.
Well, I mean, I do it for like TripIt, right? TripIt is another app I use, and it does the same thing. So that's a good feature to have. But what you can also do, like when my son flies down from Michigan to Tennessee, I'm always like, okay, what flight are you on? What's it going to do? He can send me an email. It shows up in my inbox. It'll put his flight in Flighty and track his flight. Love it, right? So it's automatically loads a flight. Two, it gives you information that the base apps don't tell you, right? It'll tell you the flight coming in, what's happening, right? So it's not going to say on time or late. It actually gives you a flight tracker for the flight that's coming into the airport to pick you up. So that's great. And also there must be some synchronization going on, but it goes and gets the flight plans. I'm like, holy cow, this is detailed. So I guess, you know, the pilots submit the flight plans. This app goes and gets them. You could see the flight plan. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, very thorough.
It is. It's configured, I'm sure, much different than a flight plan, but it's very thorough when it comes to the amount of data. So what it can do in the base ones, you can get base notifications on changes, delays, and cancellations. Okay, that's what all their other apps do. But some of the above and beyond stuff is like gate changes much faster than your normal app. The aircraft changes, which is very interesting because that doesn't really show up on like the Delta or the American app. To kind of show up at the gate, you got a new seat, right? It gives the flight plans and then gives a lot more details and arrival information. But what it does on your watch, which is really cool, once you're on the plane, it kind of gives you a visual alignment of how far you are into your flight, like the little TV on the airplane you're looking at, and it's, you know, There, it tells you how far you are from landing. That's what it does on your watch. So it's kind of a cool trip because it gives you the precursor information much better than the native apps. And it allows you to tie in family, friends who are traveling to see you and you can get their information as well. It syncs with TripIt. It syncs with your calendar. It has a complication. So again, I started using this last week when I traveled to New York for the first time, and I'm going to Montreal, like I said. So I'm going to use it more and more. So I think I'll do more kind of what I like this week's over it as I learn more stuff. Because like I said, I just talk for 5 minutes, and it's probably 5% of what it can do. It's very, very detailed app. And then I'll investigate the pro version as well. But Flighty, live flight tracker app, I highly recommend it if you're, you know, do a lot of travel, and or you have people in your family that do a lot of travel that you'd like to kind of track.
In, let's see, 2023, so not last year, but year before, it won an Apple Design Award.
Yeah, it was a Apple 2024 Apple Design of the Year. And another thing to do too, it you know, TripIt does this, but it's the app is not really good on your watch. But it'll list your flights out, all your flights. So I've got flights, you know, over the next 8 weeks to multiple cities and multiple countries, and it's all there. So it kind of puts everything in one place for you to kind of look through versus, and I have, you know, American and Delta. And then I think maybe one international flight. I'm on a different airline. But it just summarizes it extremely well in one place on your watch.
Isn't it amazing when an app like this is better than the native app?
Yes, agreed.
From the actual airline?
Yeah, right.
You know, and they probably get the information before that app does, you know?
Yeah. Now, the native apps, well, like the best thing about those is you can get your boarding pass on your watch. The problem is the way they configure the scanners, you can't really scan, you know, like Delta, you can turn it over and scan your watch. But sometimes in American, you're like trying to punch your watch up in this little area and you can't get it. And even on Delta, sometimes you can't really get your boarding pass in the right place. So I use my phone for the boarding pass just because the watch is not as effective. But this app is really good. I've used a lot of different apps.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Nice. I like that. All right. What I like this week, again, talking about CES, is actually something I wanted to like, but sadly I cannot yet. I'll preface that with yet. Mm-hmm. It's an app that was announced, I believe, at CES this year. It's called Wow Mouse, WOWMOUSE. It's an app for the Apple Watch that is sort of an extension of the double tap feature, and it allows you to control the mouse on your Mac with gestures only from your watch. So it's a really great concept, and there are some big plans for this down the road. Right now, it works with, I think, Samsung Galaxy, Google Pixel, and several other watches I've never heard of. But the news now is that they have a version for the Apple Watch. So you download the app on your watch, and then you have to download a companion app on your Mac for it to connect to via Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. You can set it for left or right hand. You can adjust the gesture sensitivity, the cursor sensitivity, audio feedback, the haptic feedback. So basically, once you get it connected, you open the app on your watch, it connects to the Mac, and then you can move your hand around, and the cursor on your Mac moves with it.
Oh.
Pretty impressive, but very hard to control precisely. If you do get over something you need to click on, you simply tap your fingers. Right? Again, it's really cool, but I have not been able to get it to work reliably enough to make it useful. You know, I haven't had it that long, so I'm going to keep practicing with it. I think it may be, at least for me, maybe I need to change the sensitivity of the gesture or the cursor to find the right sweet spot. But I haven't found it yet. It's just like I'm moving it and the mouse kind of stops and I keep raising my hand and it's not really going, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of maddening when it's not working the way I want it. What I want it to do and what I think it should do, I should be able to point my finger at what I want from a distance, and it should follow it. You know, that would be amazing.
Right, yeah, right.
But right now, I'm kind of having to move my whole hand and arm and wrist around to get it to move, which is not effective at all. Now, there's also, this is absolutely amazing. They don't have it yet. It's coming out later. There's a feature that they say is coming down the road. It is controlling your smart lights just by pointing at them. So I could point at a light, like a lamp in my house, make a gesture, like open my hand all the way, and it would turn on. Make a fist, and it would turn off. Now that's what I call a smart
home. Whoa, that is kind of cool.
And they have a little video of it, you know, demoing it. Mm-hmm. But that's something coming down the road. So they're, I have high hopes for this, that maybe it'll get better and better, like a whole different category of gesture control for the watch. So for now, I can't quite recommend it just because I haven't been able to get it to work. Mm-hmm. But you might have more success with it, honestly. So anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes for it.
Very cool.
Like I said, I haven't had a whole lot of time to work with it, but it's a great idea.
Kind of like really me and Flighty, is. Right? We both like these. Or, well, you're on the fence, but we have a little more investigative work to do over time. We'll do an update.
Yeah, if I have more success with that, I will definitely do an update on that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Anything else before we? I haven't really prepared anything here before we. I guess point our wrist at our computer and close the window for recording. I guess I don't know.
Very well done, by the way. On the fly.
That might work. Mm-hmm. On the fly. Sure. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show, so check it out. Again, it's at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website, and that's at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.